Good morning, everyone. Grace and peace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Never have I felt the need more in my life for grace and peace. That greeting that Paul used in almost all of his letters is so fitting, and I find myself saying it over and over to my family, to those I talk to our congregation. I just extend that to each person who is listening to this, whether it's morning or afternoon or evening. Grace and peace to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I trust as we walk through this simple message that you will experience that by the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning we want to focus on a call to praise in a time of turmoil and anxiety. I'm going to read first Psalm 145 from the New International Version of the Bible. You can follow along or just let these words call us into the praise of God. One of my favorite psalms that I read often. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and exalt your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord, and your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall down and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. I believe in this time of turmoil and anxiety, the Lord is calling us to set ourselves in a posture of praise. I spent some time listening back this week to the sermons from Sylvia and Tim and Chad, and I could not help but hear a common call to praise and thanksgiving. These sermons were all given, or at least in the works, long before the coronavirus outbreak. Yet their message is critical for us in this season. Additionally, after the prayer gathering this past Tuesday evening, Michelle was telling me about the clear call she felt to have some focused time of praise and thanksgiving as part of that gathering, and how she felt like that segment was a powerful part of their time together. Whenever I hear themes being repeated from different places, I always try to pay attention. And I believe this is something the Lord is speaking to us and calling us to, that we would be a people of praise in the midst of a culture that is in turmoil. Being a people of praise, of course, does not mean that we do not acknowledge the real dangers, hurts, and fears that often come into our lives, especially in times of societal upheaval. In this world, we are always taking precautions against dangers around us, and of course, that is good. We have also talked extensively in the past about the necessity of bringing all of our emotions to God, including our laments, anger, and fear. And many of the Psalms, as well as gifted writers past and present, give us words to express these emotions to God so that he can speak into them and carry them with us. However, while we acknowledge the wide range of emotions we feel, we also acknowledge that right now, God is not worried or depressed. God continues to sit enthroned above all things. His thoughts are higher than ours, and as his children, he invites us into his thoughts and into his perspective. Praise and thanksgiving is an important practice through which the Holy Spirit can reorient our lives to give us his perspective. Right now, the most powerful and important thing in the universe is not the coronavirus or any other thing that threatens us. It is, has been, and always will be God Himself. And as Jay reminded us so well at our service last week, in the midst of all the things that are being canceled, there are many things that are not canceled. The birds continue to sing. The flowers continue to bloom. The sun continues to shine. Children continue to play. And God continues to reign. Hallelujah. In saying this, we do not disregard or in any way devalue the very real struggle that many people are experiencing because of this virus. We are only saying that the struggle and loss are not the ultimate reality. Our jobs, our routines, our school, our Sunday morning gatherings, these things are not the core reality of our lives. When we engage our hearts in focused times of praise and thanksgiving, it reminds us of this ultimate reality, that there is a king on a throne, and he happens to be our Father. I encourage you to take time again to listen to Sylvia, Tim, and Chad's sermon. You can find them on our website, or send me an email, and I can get you a CD with the sermon on it. They were each so full of good words for our specific situation that once is not enough to fully allow the truth of what God spoke through them to fill our hearts. We so often hear something once and think we've got it, but we usually have only scratched the surface. So take some time to listen again. Here are a few excerpts from their sermons that I want to especially highlight, and then give us some simple activities and questions that might help us to live into this call to be a people of praise. Sylvia reminded us that praise is not optional. It's powerful, and the Holy Spirit wants to bring it out of us with the excitement and spontaneity of little children. She showed us how science is now discovering the power of words in creativity, which of course confirms what we already know about the creative power of the Word of God and the words He has given us as His people. Last Sunday, we talked about using the verses from Colossians 1:15-24 and making "you are" declarations. You are before all things. In you, all things hold together. And so on. Psalm 145 is another great place to find words that can help us declare the greatness of God. As we've said many times before, this is not just baseless positive thinking, as it's often referred to in our culture. It is agreeing with the reality of who God is so that we can participate in the heavenly life He is releasing in the world through His Spirit. Building on words of Scripture are the expressions of praise out of our own experience. Tim encouraged us to remember the places in our lives where God has touched us, spoken to us, and been at work around us. In Israel's tradition, they would remember the great works of God by building a monument, writing a story, or crafting a song. Every time they saw the monument, heard the story, or sang the song, they were called into worship and faith. The reason God commanded them to remember these events was so that in times of trouble or hardship, they would not lose their faith in the goodness and faithfulness of God. In times of social turmoil, it is easy to give into fear and to begin to trust in ourselves or whatever other securities we can grasp onto. However, as we remember and declare the ways we have seen God at work, our hearts are called afresh to continue to cling to God and walk in His ways. A great example of this is Chad's story of his experience on 9/11, as their silent retreat got interrupted by the deadly attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon. As they stared at a fuzzy Tom Brokaw explaining the gravity of what had just happened, the YES program leaders gathered everyone together and began to worship. This was not some escapist strategy of wanting to forget that there was a long, hard road of unknown and dangers ahead, but it was an intentional decision to focus their hearts and minds on the one who is bigger than any war, be it fought on a global scale or a microscopic scale. Chad reminded us that there is joy, real, deep, unshakable joy, as we connect our lives in praise and worship to the Creator and Sustainer of all things. This joy is not just so we can feel better, but so we can continue to be the people God has called us to be. In the Old Testament story of Nehemiah, the people of Israel had just returned from exile. They came together to listen to the priests read the Law of Moses, which they had all but lost during their time in exile. They realized how far they had strayed from the Lord, and they began to weep. Weeping in sorrow or grief can be a good thing. However, when it overtakes us and leads us into despair, it quickly becomes toxic to our life in God. So Nehemiah makes a declaration, "Go and enjoy choice foods and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Chad also reminded us of the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. Facing a great enemy, they cried to the Lord and waited before him. Then the Lord gave them the highly unusual strategy to send the priests out in front of the army to declare that great anthem of the people of God. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. As they declared the praise of the Lord, ambushes were sent, and their enemies were defeated without the people of Israel having to fight. The praise was their fight. So today, let us embrace the call to be a people of praise. As the people of God, it is not an option, and it is the thing that our world desperately needs in these times. A people who so clearly reflect a joy that is not tied to any reality in this world. Not just a superficial smile, but a joy that radiates from a heart that has seen the King and knows that above every other reality, God is good and his love endures forever. And may we heed the instructions of Nehemiah to not only soak up that joy for ourselves, but to let it radiate out to those who are desperately looking for a source of joy these days. Amen. So here are a couple questions or activities to help us process this that we've just said. Number one, using Psalm 145, Colossians 1, or another biblical passage, spend time writing and declaring statements of praise for who God is. As you begin, let the praise continue to flow out of you with different words and expressions that allow your heart to rise up to meet God. Ask His Holy Spirit to help you know how to enter into that time. Number two, what helps you to praise God? Some examples could be scripture, music, nature, other people, and so on. How can you incorporate more of those things into your life so that your heart is naturally called and reminded of this praise of God? And number three, what are the stories of God at work in your life, whether big or small, that remind you of the reality of God's presence and faithfulness? How can you build a monument, write a story, or craft a song to remember those times, especially during this time? And finally, number four, what are the simple expressions of joy that you can share with those around you this week to remind people that God is good and his love endures forever? May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus be ours in abundance as we walk with him, love him, and love those around us. Help us, Holy Spirit. Amen.